Welcome to worship this first Sunday of Advent. We're so glad that you're here with us. You notice the change of the seasons that you can see evident up here already with our Advent decorations and the Christmas tree already up. Being the first Sunday of Advent, it means that there's a lot going on right now in the life of the church. Starting with tonight, we're going to make Advent wreaths at 5:30 tonight. Did I get it right, Carol? 5:30 tonight, we're going to eat a light supper and then head out, probably, depending on how wet things are, probably head out to the picnic shelter to make our Advent wreaths. My microphone is not cooperating today. Wanting to hop off my face. If you haven't done this before, having your own Advent wreath at home is a great way to mark the waiting and watching of Advent as you each week light one more candle. Pair those with a devotional at home for your family, or even it's great for just if you're doing it by yourself to have a moment to set aside, light a candle against the dark to wait and to watch and to hope. There are a couple of different Advent devotional options back there in the back that you can pair with that. So I think this is one of the best ways to do your waiting and your watching as we look for Jesus' coming. Hope you can join us for that tonight. If you want to make an Advent wreath but are not able to be there, you can see me and I'll work on getting you supplies for that too. Another great opportunity to do your waiting and your watching will be starting this Wednesday. We've got 3 weeks of Wednesday night Advent services where we gather and eat, I believe at 5:45, and then we have a brief service at 6:30. This year we're going to have three of those because of the way the dates fall, and we're going to be looking at lessons from creation for how we might do our waiting and watching. And I think this week we're going to learn from the humble spotted turtle. So hope you'll join us for those. I'm excited for that opportunity to worship with you as well. Lots of other things in the bulletin as the holidays are approaching. So keep an eye on those announcements in here. Today, I know, is the last Sunday to turn in your poinsettia order forms. So if you were considering ordering a poinsettia, if you usually order one and you haven't had an opportunity to do that yet, today is the day to get that form turned in so that we can get that order in and we can have those to decorate our sanctuary as we approach Christmas Eve. Other announcements we should be aware of this day for the good of the community? Neil. Okay, so the biggest difference of that will be on following along on the readings. We can listen to those readings, and the creed, you'll have to flip to your page for the creed, which I believe is 105. Yeah, and in fact, now that we bring up the creed, thank you, Kara and Neil, for reminding me of that. We're going to do the Nicene Creed today. The Apostles' Creed is in the bulletin, but I'm going to pull a fast one on everybody. Is that all right, Debbie? If we do the Nicene Creed, it's on the facing page. Instead of 104, it's 105, or 105, it's 104. But during the season of Advent, that's usually what we do, is the Nicene Creed. Other announcements? If not, I don't know that we have any prayer. We have one prayer shawl. I'll let Kim do it. Thank you.
This prayer shawl is for Daryl Lemons. It's a friend of Raven and Sarah Kepley's. He's had a rough week this week. He found out that he possibly has cancer, and he got laid off from his job, so he needs our prayers.
We wish happy birthday this week to Randall, to Susan, Brianna, Glenna, and happy anniversary to Brandon and Brandy. Anybody else that should be on that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. we stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins and redeem us for your life of justice. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Invite your congregation to be seated, and as you're getting seated, you can find in your hymnal page 257. We'll sing the first verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel after we say our prayer and as we light the Advent wreath. Okay. Yeah, I'll come with you.
You, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, you call all nations to walk in your light and to seek your ways of justice and peace. For the night is past and the dawn of your coming is near. Bless us as we light the first candle of this wreath. Rouse us from sleep that we may be ready to greet our Lord when he comes and welcome him into our hearts and homes. for he is our light.
For the children's message.
Thank you. is for us to give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Extras heading to children's church just because there's going to be cookies.
The first reading for the first Sunday of Advent is from the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with the 14th verse. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up from David, and he will execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, and I will read Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exalt over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and righteous is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble in his ways. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. The second lesson is from First Thessalonians, the third chapter. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
And the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory.
There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Yeah. Many of you remember 1999, right? Some of us. Feels like a long time ago to me, but I do remember some of what I was doing in 1999. I know for a fact that I was listening to Will Smith's Willennium album that year. And I know that you couldn't turn on a TV or a radio without hearing about Y2K. You guys remember this Y2K thing, some of us? For those of you who weren't old enough to experience it or who were living in caves and holes in the ground that year, basically this was a computer issue, right? Computer code put dates in with 2 digits instead of 4 to save room. So 95 instead of 1995, they did it to save space. And the fear was that when the year turned over from 1999 to 2000, all of the computers would assume that it was the year 1900 again instead of 2000, and all sorts of chaos would ensue. It almost sounds a little bit comical to me now, but people were really worried about this. FEMA and the White House were heading up a joint effort to educate the public and warn of potential problems. And the real worry was that all the major financial and banking systems across the world could fail, and with it, maybe glitches in military computers could make awful things happen. And with all this worry and fear, in the U.S. alone, preparations came with a price tag estimated to be the equivalent of $190 billion in today's dollars for this Y2K bug. And for some people, the fear sort of got out of control, right? There was a booming business in Y2K survival kits with water and canned goods and batteries. And more than a few people dug bunkers in their backyards and stockpiled ammunition. People were afraid, and some said that the world was going to end. And then, basically, as 1999 ended, not much happened, right? Life went on. The hype had largely been unfounded, even if there were some preparations that made sense. But fear drives people to do all sorts of crazy things, and people had been afraid. Before we get too much further into this first Sunday of Advent, we should note that if what you were hoping for when you came to church today was to start this transition from the warm, fuzzy feelings of Thanksgiving into the warm, fuzzy feelings of the baby in the manger, today might be a little bit of a disappointment for you, because what we actually get today in our gospel reading from Luke is significantly scarier than a baby in a manger, right? Signs in the disguise, distress among nations, and the powers of the heavens shaken. People fainting even from fear. And look, the tendency can be for people to hear these texts and in fear start matching them up to world events, try to use them to make predictions about what's going to happen and when on the Jesus coming again timeline. Sometimes Y2K style, people use this passage from Luke to predict the impending end of the world. And as far as I can tell, none of that is very helpful. Yes, I can and do say with confidence that the world is pretty messed up right now, and that there's a lot of scary stuff happening out there. But then again, the world has always been pretty crazy, hasn't it? When our Jeremiah text was being written, the one we read from a moment ago, God's chosen people, Israel, had been stomped by the Babylonians. Jerusalem and the temple had been almost completely destroyed, and the leaders of the people of Israel had all been carted off in slavery to Babylon. And then, by the time that the Gospel of Luke is written, the temple has been built again and destroyed again by the Romans. So the world has been a scary place for some time now. So more than predicting the second coming of Jesus by using the chaos of the world, I think maybe what this text from Luke calls us to is the realization that all this uproar, chaos, and fear is just the reality of what this world is like while sin and death still cling to some temporary power. It's an acknowledgement of what we already know, that while this life can and often is be beautiful. Let me try that again. That line didn't come out. While this life often can be and is beautiful, as long as sin and death still have influence, life is also painful and people suffer. I think that's what this text acknowledges. And then what this text promises is that this pain will not last. Because God is not content to let this pain stand. The Son of Man will come in power and great glory, and the pain of this world will pass away. As much as it is about waiting for the baby Jesus coming to the manger, this is what Advent is about, actually. The promise that Jesus comes again in glory to make all things new. And our subsequent waiting, watching, and preparing for that day when Jesus comes. And in the meantime, we are not on our own here. God is with us now, and Jesus is coming again to make this world right. Which is why, amidst all these scary events that the Gospel of Luke talks about, the roaring of the sea and the waves of distress, with all that going on, Jesus doesn't say to flee or to hide. What he says is, stand up, raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Even with all this happening in the world, Jesus has got this. Jesus has got you, specifically. Life happens, and it's not all beautiful. But the thing is, heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of Jesus, they will not pass away. So do not be afraid. We hear that command over and over again in both the Old and the New Testament. Over 120 times, in fact, God communicates this message. Do not be afraid. Because Jesus is coming to set this world right. And all that is messed up in this world, it will pass away. But the words of Jesus, this is my body given for you. Father, forgive them. Peace be with you. The words of Jesus, they will not pass away. We don't minimize or idealize the issues that we know exist in this world, the real pain and suffering. We don't minimize them. But this is why Jesus comes. Jesus, who came to be with us in the midst of the mess, and Jesus, who will come again to make it right for good. In the meantime, don't be afraid. Or you know what? Even if you are afraid, don't let your fear work you over. Don't let it get the better of you, Y2K style. Don't dig a bunker of sinful self-interest. Instead, set your life on the hope of the one who will not disappoint. Stand up, raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. In the words of Jeremiah, a righteous branch will spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. So take heart. Do not fear. Jesus is coming. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us confess what we believe by use of the Nicene Creed found on page 104 in the front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
as we await the coming of Christ, we pray in hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. Merciful God, equip your church. Secure our roots in the soil of your eternal word. Ease our worries, remove our shame. Put hope, Lord, where there was fear. Grow our faithfulness and let your steadfast love blossom among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, sustain your creation. Water parched soil, restore depleted fields, send farmers and gardeners to care for fig trees and wheat fields, gardens and arboretums. Increase our love for the land that you have made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Abundant God, grow peace within us. Raise up leaders in every community grounded in your mercy and love. Increase their love for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Living God, feed the hungry. Gather our harvest into a feast for our neighbors. Move us to nurture those who are bereaved and lonely. Empower all who are sick. Especially, Lord, we pray for those in need dear to us. Burnett, Jane, the family of Marshall, Bobby, Harold, the family of Betty, Lydia, John, Jean, Lydia, Dwight, Sheila, Gary, Barbara, Sue, Bill, Barbara, Billy, Gracie, Chuck, Wayne, Judy, Eddie, Tommy, Kathy, Noah, Kevin, James, Tyler, Robin, Dean, Melanie, the family of Kevin, Tony, Gary, Becky, Joanne, Harvey, Vince, the family of Katie, and all those we name now. Sustain, Lord, all those in need, and particularly we lift up also, God, those who suffer in Alaska in the aftermath of these earthquakes. Lord, in your mercy, increase our joy, wondrous God. Plant thanksgiving in our hearts and multiply the good fruit of our outreach ministries and care for all people. Guide us in our service to local and global neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring you these prayers and those unspoken. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Amen.
we share a sign of Christ's peace.
You did it very well.
Thank you.
Holy God, gracious and merciful.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Right.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift of faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Say together our mission statement, which if you don't have it, we invite you to turn to page 5 and read the mission statement with us. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. And before we sing, I'll just note one thing I wanted to tell you about today. If you're looking for that hard to find a gift for person, over here on the Chrismon tree, we've got, on the angel tree, all of the local children, those have already been taken, but we've got opportunities to give ELCA good gifts, things like giving money toward a beehive for a community in need or a goat for somebody. And I've also got some really neat little cards over there, so if you go that route, there's some fun cards to send, so check that out too if you would. We sing our closing hymn.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.